It is Sunday, April 11th.
You jumping up, Bubby? Can I help you? Can we get you? Oh.
It's solitary confinement in the digital age.
All gone for num-nums for now.
I've just kind of partially recorded a... How should we do this? DIY. Okay, I've got some things to do. I've got to... No, it's a joyful Sunday. It's a joyful Sunday. I'm going to start it by reading Tolstoy. Yesterday, Tolstoy did not inspire me.
April 9th, April 10th, April 11th.
It's funny. This is it's kind of a Lorna Crozier themed week, and I want to try to upload half of this podcast to reflect that, because I wanted to do the whole half an hour as this Lorna Crozier themed thing, but then I was talking to my mom on the phone. Anyway, I talked to my mom on the phone this morning. And she was listening to the radio, and as it so happened, she's like, "Do you know whose voice this is? Do you know whose voice this is?" And a lady was talking. "Oh, I got a nice log washed up in the backyard. A beauty. It's a railway tie. Boom. That'll come in handy. I'm going to go grab that too. But let's start with Tolstoy, and then I'm going to try to upload this recording, a secret recording I made with my mother when she was listening to Lorna Crozier interviewed, and I'm hoping Lorna's interview came through. It was on North by Northwest with Cheryl McKay this morning. And Lorna, as usual, was articulate and delightful. And she was basically the whole subject of the podcast yesterday. And it's just sort of continuing that way. But first, let me get into some Lev Tolstoy. April 11th. Everything is connected more closely in the spiritual world than in the material world. Every lie brings multiple lies. Every cruelty brings more cruelty. So true. Every lie brings multiple lies. And I guess every cruelty brings more cruelty. Very often people are proud of the purity of their conscience only because their memory is too short. Zanizad Rafaisky. Zanizad Rafaisky. Now there's a name and a half. Zanizad Rafaisky. No idea who that is. This one's from the Dhammapada, quoted by Tolstoy. Drop after drop, water fills the vessel. In the same way, those who want to be good become filled with goodness. Wow, that's a beautiful one. Drop after drop. Huh. Many of our vices exist only because they are supported by other vices. Therefore, if we destroy our major vices, many others will disappear at once. No kidding. In the same way as branches fall when you cut the trunk of a tree. That's so true when it comes to drinking. Oh boy, that's true. That's why. And then, be attentive to the appearance of evil. There is an inner voice in your soul which always tells you about approaching evil. You feel unpleasant. You feel ashamed. Believe in this voice. Stop and seek to improve yourself. Then you will defeat evil. Oh, Tolstoy, so strong today. Yeah, that's why I wanted to talk a little bit at the beginning of this episode and not just run the Lorna one right away. It was because yesterday, one of the things I've noticed, and this happened after Patrick Lane's funeral or memorial service, which I went to in Victoria, right after that, even though I'd been sober for a little while there, just this flaring desire to drink alcohol came from Lorna Crozier. Something Lorna said in the pulpit when she came. She sort of made her first public appearance after Patrick moved on. And something she said was that she hates to admit it, but she just missed. Patrick was sober for 24 years at the end of his life. And Lorna says, even though she loved that glorious sobriety, she says she hates to admit it, but she misses those drinking days. She misses those drinking days. And I know that set me off. I went and got wildly smashed that night. And that was the last time my mother was pleading for me not to be sober, not to go out, and I just left. I left the house into the night to just carouse. And that was like the last time my mother ever really did that. After that, something clicked with her and Al-Anon, and she stopped pleading. She stopped that pleading. Anyway, yesterday I was feeling the wild currents, the wild, horrible, evil of alcohol. And I was blaming Tolstoy, because what I read yesterday, didn't he? I just found it so bland and uninspiring, and I felt like he'd said it a few times already. Yesterday he was saying something like, what did he say yesterday? The Holy Spirit which exists in people is liberated more and more. This will change our existing world order. And then, I don't know, the more we understand our divine nature, the more its rules should be fulfilled in our actions. I guess that's true, but I just found it so uninspiring. And I was blaming Tolstoy a bit for not giving me the wisdom I needed to stay sober. And I was blaming... everyone but myself, as usual. And I ended the night sober, and I was happy. I was happy to end the night sober. And today... we'll just see whether that happens or not. I've got to go do my yoga. I've got to go, I've done my reading, and then I've got to do my next step on the cement mixer. I'm out of coffee, I'm out of milk, I'm out of cream. I'm out of dog food. Jeez. Okay, I'm gonna end this here. I'm gonna end this version here. I'm gonna segue into now, because this is an important one. I want to hit the half an hour mark, and I'm gonna try to segue into Lorna Crozier's. When I phoned my mom this morning, she was listening to Lorna on the radio. So let's just see how this meshes. I love you, and thanks for listening to Solitary Confinement in the Digital Age. What you?
Hey.
Did you want to listen to the rest of it and call me back, or what? Or.
I'm sure it's almost. I think it's almost all finished now. She
okay.
Didn't have many books, you know, like in her childhood, but she's very good at what she's saying, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I can turn it off. I've heard enough. I don't know. Do you want to, you can't hear?
Oh, I can't hear it. I don't know. I don't. Well, we can try listening.
Not clear enough.
That we can also learn from and continue to grow. Lorna, what's a book that you go back to and read many times or have done many times over the years? Probably the book I've read the most is Sinclair Ross's As For Me and My House. And perhaps that's because it's...
Can you hear?
Yeah, I'm trying to hear.
It's just beginning to even think about being a writer, because it was the first book I read that was set in Saskatchewan. It was written in the 40s. It was never taught in my English classes at school. You know, I didn't discover it until after I graduated. And it was set in the dirty 30s, that Dust Bowl depression time that my parents were children during, and that they always talked about. It was the great myth of where I grew up in Saskatchewan. You know, don't complain, because when I was your age, I got pajamas made out of flour sacks. And, you know, we didn't go to school one whole winter because there was no feed for the horses. And it was this terrible time of deprivation and poverty. And Sinclair Ross captures that in a very small novel with two main characters, minister and his wife. Philip is the minister's name, and his wife we only get to know as Mrs. Bentley. Mm-hmm. And we see the drought of their marriage through looking at the desiccation of the landscape. It's very musically written told you about. They don't have to be set in New York or Paris or even Toronto or Vancouver. Books can be set in small towns, Saskatchewan, and still have a wide reach. So I dipped in and out of that. I even wrote a book of poems based on the Mrs. Bentley character, imagining that she was a poet. And I followed Ross's plot and some things I made up, but it was that important a book to me that I wanted to rewrite it as poetry, as a tribute to him and what he did.
What is that book of yours called, Lorna?
A Saving Grace.
Hmm. Do you find the times you've picked it up in different parts of your life that it, you find different things, or you hear something different, or experience it in a different way?
Yeah, definitely. And I've taught that book. I used to teach a course in Canadian literature, and I had that on the curriculum. So when you teach something again and again, the true test of the brilliance of a book is when it does just, you say, you see something new, or you gasp at some bit of phrasing that you really never noticed the beauty of before, and it holds up. And I noticed, too, that most students find it really dry and boring at first, and they can't imagine why the teacher would have put it on the syllabus. But once you start talking about it, once you get them discussing things and show them the kind of musical themes that are going on and how it all ties together, they start to appreciate it, I think.
That's got to be satisfying, too, when you're introducing people to a book and then you see them, the lights start to come on for them as well.
It's one of the most delightful things about teaching is when you say something and you see that light come on in a few heads in the room and you think, aha, gotcha.
My guest in this hour of the show is the award-winning poet.
Well, you there?
Yeah, no, it's great. Lorna's great. I love listening to her. We should keep... Are they going to keep going?
Lorna Crozier, and she'll be back in the next half hour of the show to continue with this one. List of books that have been
what show's that called? North by Northwest?
Yeah, it's Sheila Rogers.
No,
being discussed.
No, not Sheila Rogers. No, it's Cheryl McCain.
Speaking of books. Just a heads up about an event that I'm taking part in.
Well, anyway, let's talk.
I'll turn it off. But
I might listen.
In a way, I wouldn't mind listening to it after.
Well, it'll be. I'll find you the link for it. I'll send you the link for the rest of it online. Because I'm sure I can find it. I think everything that's on CBC is somewhere online. You just gotta. I'm sure you can find it. I'm sure you could just type in Google North by Northwest Lorna Crozier and then today's date.
And Cheryl McKay. Yeah,
you wouldn't have to. You don't
Cheryl
have to,
McKay is the host.
Yeah, but you don't have to give all the information. But you just have to.
No, that was interesting, though.
Lorna's great. It's always Lorna's. You know, it's amazing. She's kind of been the theme of this week for me. And then I just call. I just call you, and she's interviewed on North by Northwest. That's it's just great. No, I've been thinking a lot about them. She's really good. I really appreciate her manner of delivering everything. She can appeal.
Well, she's very articulate, and I can see she would have been a very good teacher.
She would have been a good teacher, but she also, I just feel like she's good. This is a good time for her. I really hope more people read this book. I think it's a great little treasure, this little Through the Garden with Cats.
Yeah. Right. Have you ever read that book that she was talking about, As for Me and My House?
No, I haven't. No, but what it made me think of was Who Has Seen the Wind by W.O. Mitchell, because I read that was the first book that appealed to me, really, that I can remember. And we read that at Campbell Collegiate in one of our, I think it was Miss Mushka, her English teaching program. And Who Has Seen the Wind? And I remember thinking, actually, I didn't think much of the book. I found the book boring. But the thing that I liked about that book was the title. I just liked the title, Who Has Seen the Wind. It was just such a nice kind of title, and the fact that such a nice romantic title was applied to Saskatchewan, the same as Lorna, the same thing that she was saying there about Saskatchewan, the same thing, that the fact that that Saskatchewan could be poetic was just sort of a, like, that, because that book was set in Saskatchewan too.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I did find the book itself boring, but the title was like, huh, wow.
Yeah, well, you know, in a way that another author that valued the prairies, I think, is Sharon Butala.
Well, I haven't read her, but yes, she apparently, according to what you've told me about her, didn't she end up where Laura began, somewhere around Swift Current?
Well, it was in the Cypress Hills.
Yeah, that's very close to Swift Current.
Yeah, it would be similar. Yeah, She understood the prairie.
Well, wasn't she from Regina? Or no, she wasn't from Regina. I don't know where she was from. No, I'm thinking about Bonnie Berard. I'm thinking about Bonnie Berard. She's from Regina.
Okay. Well, you know, I've read this As For Me and My House, but I think I should reread it because I think I found it kind of a bit dull myself. But then, and it was a book that I think we'd had to study in Canadian Lit. And but I didn't. No, I didn't. Well, I can't remember it too much, other than the, you know, where that title comes from, As For Me and Myself.
My House. As for me and my house, it's called.
As for me and my house, I know.
Yeah.
As for me and my house, that's a biblical phrase. The whole quote goes something: "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Well, there you go. See, that's a little, obviously that's no mistake, that's no accident, no coincidence. Especially I'm reading it right now, they're talking about Christianity. I'm looking at an excerpt online of the book. It's been a hard day on him, putting up stovepipes and opening crates for the fourth time, getting our old linoleum down. He hasn't the hands for it. I could use the pliers and hammer twice as well myself, with none of his mutterings or smashed up fingers either. But in the parsonage, on calling days, it simply isn't done. It's about, a priest. In return for their $1,000 a year, they expect a genteel kind of piety, a well-bred Christianity that will serve as an example to the little sons and daughters of the towns. So as for me and my house, there you go. Solitary confinement in the digital age.
That quotation you just read is from As For Me and My House.
Yeah, that's For Me and My House. Yeah, there's a little excerpt on Google Reads. You can read a bit of excerpts of it. And that's the first, that was the first one that was shown.
I have read the book, but so many years ago, I don't remember, you know, much about it.
Well, I mean, I think it says it's 242 pages. I wonder what Lorna's was. Let me see. I'm going to go get it. I think that's a perfect size for a book in the modern, in the digital age. I don't think they should be much longer than that.
Hmm. Well, have you still got Lorna's book, or did you send it yet?
Through the Garden, a love story with cats. It is, according to this, it's there's an addendum, but it's about 219,
210, 15, 19, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You can certainly have a very well-written book in that many pages. I'm just making some more coffee.
Pardon?
Just making another coffee.